Hey, the mayor's here this morning, and let's welcome him to our microphone this morning. Good morning, Mayor.
Good morning, Juke. How are you?
Very good. Very good.
Slightly new schedule today, right?
Yeah.
So with some of my new duties, our typical time, I've got meetings scheduled in Grand Rapids every month.
So. Oh, well.
So I think it's going to be Thursdays now, although this week I was going to be gone on Thursday. So
it's hard to schedule you lately. You're busy.
Yeah, but you know, we just get into a new normal, and so look for it on Thursdays from here on out. Thursday of the month. So.
Meanwhile, what's going on in Holland?
Wow, boy, what's some weather, man!
Isn't that something?
Who?
That's because we live right.
Well, we didn't think so much about that in January or March or April. But boy, this helps make you forget about those days.
Yeah.
But, no, things are in full swing. New fiscal year kicks off July 1, so that budget is all set and ready to go. You know, construction projects beginning to hit the ground. Some work being done on the kind of M40 area. That's more of an MDOT area.
Yes.
M40 where it intersects with 196.
And some work going on at Washington South.
Yeah, exactly. There's some unscheduled work going to be done on Washington South, and it sounds like that could be a bit of a delayed process.
Probably will.
I'm sure there's some engineering that needs to happen, but also there's some material issues that steel is in pretty short supply. I don't know where the steel has to come from. You know, I don't either, but my understanding is if you have a project that's, you know, done next year, you're fine in ordering steel, but getting that kind of steel on short notice, excuse me, isn't terribly easy.
I'm not sure we even manufacture it in this country anymore.
You know, I think we still do, but I know that there's a bunch that comes from overseas, too, so it's kind of, much like everything else, I guess, kind of a global global supply.
I always thought, I always figured global means everybody gets paid the same. Around the world.
Well, cost of living is a little bit different in other places.
Yes,
too,
it is.
But So we're tourist season is really kicked off well, and I talked with some of the CVB folks, Convention and Visitors Bureau folks, and they say that we're off to a great start, which is wonderful. It's a nice time to be reminded that we get to live in a place that other people
choose
to vacation.
It truly is, and. When people complain to me about the winter weather, I always say, well, it builds character, and it does.
Right, right. And this year we've got a lot of character.
Yeah, we did. Well, I'm glad to see that most of the potholes are taken care of.
Yeah, we're getting there. You know, I mean, there's always more to have happen, but hopefully we've gotten pretty much caught up for the most part. And if people see them, they can, of course, call City Hall, but we also have a couple of ways to do it online. So if you've got an iPhone or a smartphone of some sort, you can download the city app and report potholes. It tracks where you are. It sends the message directly to whomever's supposed to get it, but it also does other kinds of things, whether it's long grass or abandoned vehicles or graffiti or whatever it may be. So it's a pretty nifty little app, and we've had pretty good success with it.
Yeah. So if anyone would like to talk to the mayor this morning, here he is, 395-1450. Line's open for you. And the power plant is well on its way.
It is, yeah. In fact, beginning, I want to say, in the next couple of weeks, we're going to start to see some of the demolition of the properties up there.
Mm-hmm.
We had a training session with not only the Holland Department of Public Safety Fire Division, but also, I think, Park Township and Holland Township, and City of Zeeland, and maybe Zeeland's a township, too, and Grafskap perhaps as well. Did a kind of a training exercise with some of the old houses that are now abandoned before they tore them down, so they could intentionally set them on fire and do some training in sort of a live sense, if you will. So that's good. My understanding is it was pretty successful, which is exactly what you want for a system like that,
right.
A training like that. But no, so the destruction will begin to happen, and then little by little we'll begin the process of building the new plant. We've already got put in place some contracts for the actual generating equipment. Went with some Siemens turbines. Basically came down to GE and Siemens, and we picked the one that was going to be better suited for our particular use with having the potential, having more snow melt plus the potential for pulling off some steam. The Siemens units were just a little bit better, and we got some really great pricing on them. Still some big ticket items. I forget what the number was, but it was in the $30 to $50 million amount. So not cheap, not stuff you just, you buy with the stuff in your wallet. We looked a bit now at some of the combustion turbines, I think. No, what was the... We had one that we had some units we looked at this past week at our study session. Another pretty big purchase to begin working on this. And little by little, we'll start picking a contractor to do the major part of the work. And, you know, it's got to be open and online in about 2 years. So
okay. Now, the old plant is going to be kind of... on standby? Or?
Yeah. I mean, what's going to happen is for now, we'll draw down the coal pile. So chances are pretty good that within the next year or so, the coal pile will go away. And there are three operating units at that facility, units 3, 4, and 5.
Right.
As I always say, we're really creative in how we name these things. But unit 3 was the one that was put into service in the early 50s, and that was the one that was always going to be talked about being replaced through whether it was the coal replacement or whatever it was. 3 was the one that had to go. 3 also is the unit that controls the snowmelt system right now. So as we get rid of 3, we've got to design the replacement for that.
Right.
So 3 will be gone. Units 4 and 5 were put into place in early 70s, early 80s, respectively. And they, when designed, were already designed to be fired either by coal or by natural gas. So what we're planning on doing at this point with them is keeping them there and using them for peaking capacity. And what's peaking capacity, you might ask? Essentially that's that third hot August day when
right.
finally you say, you know what, I can't stand it anymore, I'm going to turn my air conditioning on. And you multiply that times 10, 50, 100 times, and you get to the point where everybody's doing it, and you get tremendous demand for electricity. So you have to have within your portfolio to be properly licensed, not just enough to meet a day like today, but to meet those peaking days.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the units that you just fire up when you need them and turn them off when you don't need them. Now, we don't actually have any use right now for extra peaking capacity in our portfolio, but they're fully paid for. Really isn't much cost associated with, comparatively, with keeping them up and running. So what we're able to do is we're going to test the market and see if there are other utilities that do need some extra peaking capacity in their portfolio. We'll sell that capacity to them. And, you know, they may run, I don't know, a week, maybe two, intermittently throughout the course of a year. You know, a day here, a day there when they're actually needed. But otherwise, you know, we'll just hopefully, you know, be collecting some money on them to help pay down some of the debt, help, pay for expenses with the utility. Ultimately, you know, within the next, I would say, 10 to 20 years, my suspicion is we will see the entirety of the DeYoung facility gone along the waterfront
mm-hmm.
there. And, you know, so we have long-term plans for that to happen, but no direct timetable as to when the entirety of the facility goes away. But we know that we'll stop generating there on a kind of usual basis, you know, in 2016 sometime.
Yeah, very good. All right. And no more coal will be purchased? And
yeah, you know, I'm not sure if we've actually exhausted our purchases now or not, but, you know, we're getting, if we have not yet exhausted the purchase of coal, we're getting darn close to it.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, so that's good, and, you know, we... It feels like we put that to bed a little bit, though. There's a lot of stuff, you know, if BPW is listening, they're probably rolling their eyes right now saying, good grief, this is the biggest construction project we've ever had to deal with. So there's a lot of details and a lot of hard work and a pretty tight timeline to get it all done. But they're working hard at it, and it's going to be a really good project when it's all said and done.
Got a call here. Good morning. You're online with the mayor.
Good morning. This is Terry.
Yes, Terry.
I have had a question for quite a while in my mind. What does our coal plant do with its coal ash? I know that around the country there have been some horrendous accidents with coal ash getting into one thing and another, and I never see any around our plant. Where does it go?
That's a good question, and you know, I'm trying to remember exactly the answer to it. Seems to me that we have a disposal site that we work with, and I'm sort of getting I'm combining a few things in my head, I'm afraid, and one of them is the dredge site, one of them is some of our sludge out of the water treatment plant, but I'm pretty sure that we have a disposal site that we use to get rid of it. So so that is, I think, what's the case. And if anybody from the BPW is listening who can correct me or enhance my answer, we'd certainly welcome that call. But I'm 95% sure that's what happens to it.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Terry.
Thanks, Terry.
All right. I remember my father used to get a load of coal ash every once in a while from consumers.
Hmm.
Put on his driveway.
Sure. Yeah, those are the days.
He did not have a concrete driveway, you know. And
right.
So the ashes were packed down, and they really made a good driveway.
Yep. Makeshift asphalt, basically.
So,
you know, legislature's out of session now till fall. Unfortunately, they didn't get finalized any sort of transportation funding piece. I do fully expect that they will do that when they go back into session this fall. I just think that there's too much urgency to do that.
Too much at stake.
And everybody recognizes the fact, I think, that, well, most everybody, because there's always going to be
one
guy.
Everybody recognizes the urgency, but still they don't want to pay for it.
Well, there's that aspect. I also do think, though, that even among folks who are ardent anti-tax people, we understand that you're going to pay for it one way or the other, either at the pump or you're going to pay for it at the repair shop. And and after the you brought up potholes earlier in our segment, I mean, clearly this has been the year where the deficiencies of our current funding scheme have been exposed. If someone hadn't been paying attention before this clearly indicates that the way we're funding roads right now in Michigan is in bad shape. The funding. It's obviously based in gas tax, but it's not a percentage. It's a flat amount that's remained the same since the 90s. And we spend less on a per-person basis than any of our surrounding states, and sometimes one and a half or twice or two times less than what our neighbors do. So this is a big problem. It needs fixing. I think the legislature will fix it, but they're taking a little heat now for not having gotten it done so far.
Mm-hmm. All right. We're here with the mayor this morning. If you have a question, 395-1450. From time to time, Mayor, having been in municipal government at one time myself, I always got this, well, it's us against them.
Mm-hmm.
And you get that a lot in Holland as well, that people say, well, in City Hall,
Sure.
And I don't know, what can you do to...
Well, yeah, I don't think you're ever going to get rid of it.
Probably not.
Completely. Reagan had that old saying, what the worst words you ever hear are, I'm from the government, we're here to help.
Yeah, I know.
So you always have that sentiment of, many of us prefer to be kind of left alone. Whether it's a federal government or city hall or whatever it is, until a neighbor has an issue, until the neighbor's dog is barking or... what we've seen, for example, I've gotten two emails in the past 12 hours about fireworks. People are upset about that, and I suppose this is as good a time as any to remind folks that a few years back, the state legislature, state government, changed the kinds of fireworks that could
right.
be used and sold in Michigan, and also determined that around federal holidays, and for purposes of summertime, we're really talking about Memorial Day, 4th of July, and Labor Day, the day before, the day of, and the day after those holidays, there can be really no local regulation of the use of those fireworks. Now, they did clarify it so that at a certain time at night, we can shut down the use of them, even on those days. But in the city of Holland, aside from those federal holidays, day before, day of, and day after, fireworks are illegal in the city of Holland. So if you are dealing with a neighbor or someone on your block who likes to keep firing them off on tonight, for example, call the police, please, and that's the best way to put that sort of thing to a stop. I wish we didn't have to go to that kind of level, but everybody likes fireworks. But every night when you're trying to sleep or trying to put kids to bed or whatever the case may be, there's got to be a consideration also for neighbors. So
definitely.
But no, to your broader point of how do you deal with us versus them? I think that one of the things is you try and talk as much as you can with people, and you can't obviously talk with everybody. And it's just tough sometimes to be able to get a message across, because at the end of the day, I'm a firm believer that with 99.7% of the people, if you sit down and talk with them, you may not end up agreeing at the end of the day on something, but at least you recognize that it's not this faceless, mindless kind of position, but there's actual reasons behind something for or against, whether it's coming from the government or not.
I frequently would say, come down to City Hall and make out a petition for the next election.
Well, there's that too. Guess that's the...
don't sit on the curb and bellyache. Get in the parade.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And I think most people would be, you know, those who follow what happens in City Hall or Township Halls would be pretty surprised at the kind of the breadth of topics that get talked about.
Oh, yes. Yes,
indeed. A lot of stuff.
Let's see. Do I have a call here? I think I do. Good morning. You're online with the mayor.
Yes. Good morning, Joe Karen. Good morning, Mayor.
Good morning.
You know, there's a lot of people that do call in and call to the mayor's office and things about how can you be a little better about, you know, handling some of the issues around our community. But one of the things I've always mentioned and I would promote is having our city council people actually being a little more proactive within the community area where the citizens actually know who they are, where they live. Now, a lot of our, I know there's a small group of our council people that are active, but we have some that are not even known by their own neighbors that they're the council people. And we need to get them out and more active within their community because, after all, they do work for us, and we shouldn't have to wait for them to come and settle all the issues. If they were more active in the community, they'd know more about what was going on. So I leave that with you, and thank you.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you. You know, I know obviously that the 9 members of council, and I would say almost to a person, they're pretty active in the community. Now, you know, could any of us, all of us, do more? We can always do more, right? One thing to keep in mind is that. You know, these are very much part-time jobs, and they are not like a City of Chicago or sort of thing where, you know, that essentially is the job. People do this for love of the community and trying to serve. And again, knowing the people as I do, I honestly think most, if not all of them, are active in one form of service or another. And all of us have our own, our own bits of interest, that things that maybe are more interesting to us. I can think of a council member right now who's really interested in animal issues as well as public safety kinds of issues. Mm-hmm. And I know another one who's very active and interested in, shipping and train issues, and he's our go-to person and that sort of thing. Can we do more? Sure, you can always do more. But I do think that, by and large, our members of council are pretty out there, right, so to speak, in the best sense of the word.
Right. Time out for some weather here, and the forecast is brought to you by the farmhouse serving their fresh strawberry spinach salad and homemade strawberry shortcake for a limited time, that is, at the farmhouse at the Y in Zeeland. And the weather outlook for today is mostly sunny with a high of 79. Thunderstorms tonight with a low of 68. And scattered thunderstorms tomorrow with a high of 83, and right now we're looking at 72 degrees in the Tulip City. And people should also remember that council people and the mayor have families also, and they should have some time for their families.
Yeah, and again, I think, as far as people in the City of Holland are concerned, people, I think, are pretty respectful of time, and And what I do know is if you reach out to members of council, they certainly will take time to talk with you. But, the issues are so many, frankly,
yes,
and sometimes you just don't really know what people are thinking on many sorts of issues. But, it's a great community. It's a privilege to do this sort of thing. But, ultimately, government is pretty close to you at the local level, and it's among any sort of, whether it's a state rep, a congressional member, a U.S. senator, or certainly a governor, you can get a hold of your local member of council
a whole lot
easier.
And especially with email now,
it's
easy to leave a message and let them know how you feel on a topic.
Yep, no question. Coming up this weekend, thinking ahead of the weekend, it's Monday, so let's start thinking weekend, right? We got Juneteenth celebration happening at Collin Park. It'll be a great event celebrating the, I think a lot of people know what Juneteenth is, but it's the time when the word of emancipation finally got to the furthest reaches of the U.S. and in Galveston, Texas. So that's celebrating Juneteenth, which has been a celebration we've had here in Holland for quite some time, and it should be a good one again this year. And, hey, it's at a park along the lake, so what's not to like?
Yeah, right. And we got, of course, the Thursday night thing downtown.
Yes. Yep. Street Performers Thursday night, concert series at Cullen Park on Friday night as well. Farmers Market Wednesday and Saturday. So this, you know, this is the time of year when if you can't think of something to do outside, just you know, come downtown, go to Cullen Park. Pretty good. You're going to hit something going on in those places.
There's so much to do in Holland, and if nothing else, just go sit by Lake in Cullen Park, and you've got a nice evening.
Yeah, no question. No question.
By the way, the band will be there on the 17th of June, I believe.
Yep.
For their first
that'll be great.
Performance.
Well, I think they're in Europe right now.
Yes, they are. They should be coming home shortly.
Right.
Mayor, I want to thank you very much for coming down this morning and talking to us, and we'll be seeing you next month on Thursday.
Thursday, yes.
Okay.
Juke, always a pleasure. Thank you.